Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty, prosperity, and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Friday, October 27, 2023. How's everybody doing out there? What did I spend my day doing? I spent my day doing safety at a safety conference, listening, learning, getting my small drones, getting some fans. That's what I did. So today we're going to go over introduction to safety leadership. That's what I did today at the event. A lot of people, you know, they put you on last, and it's one of the last nice weekends of the year, and everybody's heading on out Friday afternoon. Crowd wasn't as large as I thought, but guess what? We did. I said, you know what? Well, I'm going to record this. We're going to go and do this all over again and post it for everybody who was not at my presentation. If I could, I would force it down their throat. I'm going to try to clean. Hope you're enjoying your weekend there, and let's go right into it. Who does this safety training apply to? What does leadership apply to? This presentation. Basically, supervisors, health and safety professionals, up-and-coming professionals, and anybody else. Without leadership, it's a real bad thing if you're a safety professional, because you cannot lead people to work safe. You cannot influence people. People get hurt. People get killed. Really poor leadership, and I've been on a lot of projects of very, very poor leadership, I would say. They cause so much animosity towards that safety professional. And what do you think happens? At safety, years later, people hate safety professionals. It happens all the time. Now, I have here the outreach training program for Maritime. And right here it says under Managing Safety and Health. And when you go to the outreach training, they refer you over to this book, Safety and Health Programs in Construction. And this pretty much applies to all of the outreach training programs that are 30-hour courses. And what do you find out? Upper right-hand corner there in the pink, you have management leadership. So you have management leadership. Again, that's what now again, what's leadership? Well, let's start out first. What is safety? I asked this and I used the HOP definition, the human organizational performance definition. Presence of safeguards, presence of controls, more capacity in a system, more resiliency in a system, right? And you add more of this stuff, and presumably you're going to have a safer job site. And we're not trained in leadership as safety professionals. A lot of times you get derided, and some is justified. I'll be honest with you. Safety is the management of people, not machines. People change, people influence other people, conditions change. What about the COVID-19? It was dumped on us to do the COVID-19 compliance, all the stuff that we hated to do. And we became safety cops for the first time in a long time. And 20 years, I ended up being a safety cop. Hey, make sure that you wear that mask. Make sure that you go out and wear this. Make sure you go out there and do this. Make sure you do this, blah, 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 blah. And what happened? We were often tasked with firing people, or at least having a part in firing people and throwing people off the job to discipline people. And guess what? It comes down to this. Well, I didn't throw you off the job. The safety professional did. Or they say, why didn't you throw him off the job? You don't have the ability to hire, to fire, or to discipline people. That's why if you're a consultant, you better have that in your paperwork somewhere. Do I have the ability to hire, fire, or discipline someone? If you do not have that ability to hire, fire, or discipline someone, you're going to run yourself into problems. I've seen consultants get sued for wrongful firing. I've seen companies get sued for wrongful firing because the person who fired them was the safety professional. It was improper, especially if it's a union job, right? You need to go up there with leadership. If you have leadership, you have to go out there and impact the C-suite, the CEO, CFO, chief human resources person. The big thing is procurement. What about those procurement people that we talk about here? Do they know what is involved in doing safety, what equipment to buy, why they're buying equipment? The old yellow suit story I tell. Well, Jim, I bought a yellow suit. It's the same as the other yellow suit. No, it's not. Different manufacturer, different chemical resistance, different suit altogether. You have, well, welded versus bonded seams versus sewn seams. All this stuff. Procurement doesn't understand that. Guess what? You're going to have a problem. You have to be able to impact those procurement people. How about management on all levels? Right? Got to be able to impact managers. Here we have this gentleman here. He was from, and I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to belabor the dead here. He was the commander, the CEO of the expedition to the Titanic that got lost over a couple months back. This was his statement. You know, there's a limit. At some point, safety is just pure waste. I mean, if you just want to be safe, don't get out of bed. Don't get in your car. Don't do anything. At some point, you're going to have to take some risk, and it really is a risk-reward question. I think we can do this just as safely by breaking the rules. Oh, your CEO say that? This is the CEO of this company, right? Your CEO say that? Where do we start? My story. I did not have, and I don't mean to offend anyone here, I did not have very good leaders. My parents love me, my family love me, all that stuff. But we did not have good leaders growing up. Right, Gen X. I'm a Gen Xer person. All Gen X people, we were dealing with a World War II generation or just after the World War II, maybe some baby boomers, born roughly 1952, roughly, with my cohort, born in my year, 1970. Youngest parents are probably, well, younger parents than that, but, you know, 18 years old, 1952. Different time back then. What were we taught? Right? We were taught, you're going to do as I tell you to, period. That seems what most of the blue-collar parents were teaching. Going to high school, we still had a lot of these World War II folks that grew up during World War II. Before World War II, 1920s, 1930s, just afterwards. That was what there, and this is generational. You will respect my authority. You will go out there and you will do as you're told. It's leadership, hey, they're your teacher. Why aren't you listening to the teacher? You know, sort of thing. And how, right? And that's what it was. And the upper classes in our society are not taught that way. You want to read a book on that? You could talk, read, and he's controversial. Bill O'Reilly's The O'Reilly Factor. Probably he goes into this because he started out in the middle class, Long Island, Levittown, I believe it was. And what happened? He went to a state university. Eventually, he went to Harvard, and he realized people at Harvard think differently. They were raised differently. Right, but that's what we were raised. That's blue-collar people. And what we notice once we have children, that some folks are natural-born leaders. Most are not. You see, put a group of three-year-olds, four-year-olds together, you're going to find a leader there. How do you identify leaders? You know, a lot of ways to identify leaders of a group. Right, but basically, it's a learned trait. This is what I ended up with my attitude, Cartman, right? Respect my authority. So now the thing is, well, what's leadership? And you hear this all your life. Jim, you need to show more leadership. You need to be a leader. You need to read books on leadership. You need leader, 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 leader. But they never really define what the hell a leader is. Leader, and this is what I use. Leadership is influence. I get this from Mitchell Toll. Mitchell Toll is an American watercolor artist. He used to give a lot of presentations on leadership in the mid-2000s, but it's always stuck with me. Influence, one word. Leadership is influence. And leadership is transitional. You have to go from people doing what I say to people wanting to follow you. Now, the question is this, one of these two slides, leadership is influence, and you need to do this leadership by assignment to earn leadership. What does that mean? Leadership is influence. Let's say you have a sick child. Who has the most influence in a household when you have a sick child? That sick child, or I'll be the sick child's illness or situation. For some people, it's their pets. Those are the ones that have the most sway. For some, all different things. People want to follow. You need to move from this. And this is what we're going to talk about here. Going from leadership by assignment into people wanting to follow you. Earn leadership. This is what I found out. Leadership is not education, success, certifications, book knowledge. It's not doctors, Google, Facebook, Instagram, or anything like that. Right, and who can be a leader? The most educated, the most experienced, the one who knows English. Even though I found out today that 30% of construction workers in the United States do not speak English. How do you like that? It's a little factoid. But it could also be the least educated, the least experienced, the one who doesn't know English, the one without the car keys, right? And incentives show who the leaders are. Leaders often are the ones who manage pay, manage the schedule, manage the annual review. Who manages your annual review? There's people who manage people, not the safety professional, often. People, people forget this, right? And I got this on the Safety Nights website with David Jansky, right? People say, I didn't know that I was so hated until the COVID-19 situation came about. They would go along with safety. They may treat you amicably. They'll treat you this way, that way. But guess what? You are not the one who has the most impact on them. You're not the one who manages their pay, their schedule, their annual review. It was mind-blowing for a lot of companies to start to have the annual reviews to include safety. Still controversial. I have a client, extremely, we have to worry about safety in our annual review, really? Aye, aye, aye. So those are the people who are going to influence them. And we also find out that facts don't matter, don't always matter, because a lot of people have facts, and your facts could be incorrect. Having correct facts versus incorrect facts. Having opinions. Other people have other opinions. Again, facts are viewed through the lens of opinion and context and everything else. You may not have credibility. You can have all the facts in the world, all the success in the world, not have any credibility with that person. So guess what? That's going to impede your leadership. This is what I use is the Army Leadership Guide. This is the current one I use, the older one from 1948, 47, to build what I do, right? And what's leadership? Leadership is like safety. Safety is the presence of controls, not the absence of accidents, illnesses, and incidents, right? That's that zero accident sign. That's not what safety. And I asked the crowd today, I said, look, because you had an accident, does that automatically make your company a dangerous company? That's how it's being managed. That's how it's being viewed by a lot of managers. And I mean managers, not at your little tiny firms. We're talking multi-billion dollar firms. You had an accident, therefore you're an unsafe company and you're an evil person. Getting back to what we're going to talk about in a minute. A leader may have a whole bunch of attributes, but you don't need to have all of them to be a leader. Presence more of them, and we're going to talk about them, aren't going to translate into better leadership no matter what. And that's the leadership pyramid that we have. By the way, this is copywriting. Now, leadership pyramid that I developed here, and this was based on the Army stuff. I was not in the military. This is what you were looking to build. You don't need all these bricks to have leadership. This is what you have. So optimism, it's probably the most important asset in leadership is optimism. And we're going to say this. What do you view your employees as? Very controversial. Yeah, optimism, focused on solutions, not afraid of failure. Communicators, future-oriented. Success mindset. They use the mode of language and motivation, right? Behaviors are infectious. Optimism is infectious. I've read that cynicism and pessimism spread a lot quicker than optimism. You got to work to be an optimist. Don't have to work to be a pessimist. Optimists value collaboration. So here's a question for you. What do you think of your employees? Are your employees part of the problem or part of the solution? Are they all bad apples? Are they incompetent? Are they blamed for all safety issues? What about management with their incentive program? And incentives could be verbal or nonverbal. It could be an attaboy. It could be, here's an incentive thing. I'm proud. You got a little tchotchke. We got a lot of little tchotchkes today. They're really nice. And this is what employee, you know, well, what do you think about them? You think negatively about your employees? Do you think you're going to be able to lead them? They're the problem, right? What do you think? Achieve professional confidence. They're, right, we're out there, and I'm told there are something like 300 credentials for safety, right? ASV, CSV, CIH, CHSC, OHSD. I know one guy who has them all from the CSV. Incredible. I used the used book services, various internet resources that are reputable other than Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, right? And you need to seek experience advice. So you need to learn the job that people are doing, right? Of the people you're supposed to be leading, you're supposed to add more information, more context to what's going on out there. There's a guy out there, Brent Sutton. He came up with the idea of learning teams. And you can have event learning teams, meaning you have an event and there's a learning team. I ceased calling things investigations. We're going to have a learning team. We're going to find out what the context is, everything else. Why? Because you start to go out there with an investigation. You put people on the defensive. And it puts you on the offensive. We're going to go out there. We're going to find out what the hell is going on. How did this happen? Not going to get anywhere that way, folks. You're going to come out with bad things. And then you can have an everyday learning team, which is your regular audits, everyday activities, a management of change or a periodic learning team. That's where, hey, new technology, new changes in laws, periodically, hey, we want to revisit this, that sort of thing. And these are his three books, The Practice of Learning Teams, 4Ds for Hoffman Learning Teams. I read that this week. And A Learning Teams Journal. And let's remember, more information does not make you more stupid. Right? More information is good. You may not like the information, but you need to be able to handle the information. Know your limitations. Right, and I have a video for this, but it's all for YouTube, and I don't want to violate any copyright things here. But it's Dirty Harry, Magnum Force. A man has got to know his limitations. Know what your limitations are. Know what you don't know. Know what you know. Know what you don't know. Real simple. Know what your physical limitations are, your mental limitations, your time limitations, all different types of limitations out there. Right? Next thing, seek out and volunteer for responsibility. You want to go out there and you want to show, that you're one to be accountable, take ownership of things. Because if you seek out responsibility, you accomplish things, that adds to your success. And now you have to market that success into a good safety program, into your leadership program. I'm a leader because I got this stuff done. I'm successful. Very good sell for a C-suite. Maybe a harder sell to the workforce. Right? That's what you want to do. Accountability. Don't take the blame. And let's say that. I'm not talking about taking the blame. Not your, right? You have incentives. Very rarely is the worker to blame for things. And you may have heard in the behavior-based safety world that 80% of accidents are from unsafe acts, and we're 90% of that. And then all of a sudden you're blaming the employer. The employee. Versus what was the incentive that that person had to do what he or she did? And that usually comes from management. Look to improve. Always look to improve yourself. The next one, lead by example. This is a common meme here, right? You want to be the boss or you want to be the leader? The boss sits back and lets everybody else do the work. The leader goes out there and does things. What's the example? Leading through example. PPE. Do you wear it when you're supposed to? I know of a company that lost a major contract because none of the management will wear PPE. None of the management would obey exclusion zones on a hazmat job. You see the guys out there working, doing their thing, and they're out there with in sneakers. Attend meetings. Right? Hey, you need to go for that safety training over there. Well, you're the leader. Did you go out there and do that safety training? Oh. Right? How about going and attending a job hazard analysis meeting in the morning? Did you ever do that? Probably an important thing. Help with the work. Help. Don't do the work. Help with the work. Work with people. Shared sweat. Shared struggle goes a long way. Care for those people. Care for your people. They're not a piece of meat. They're human beings. Have a positive attitude. How's anybody else going to have a positive attitude if you don't have a positive attitude? Let me ask you that much. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Communication is the key. A lot of things out there. We can help you out there on Safety Wars. Newsletters, internal podcasts, weekly meetings, online platforms. Let them know what safety is doing. It creates value in everything that you're doing. Understand and take care of your team. Richard Branson, take care of your employees, they'll take care of your business. Simple as that. There was a recent interview I heard on Coast to Coast AM of somebody who was into disaster preparation, worked at a very high level of disaster preparation. He was hired by billionaires to help them prepare for disasters. And he told them, they said, well, what, you know, we have this up there, these, you know, underground bunkers, and we're going to have people there. What do you say? Well, who's your security people? Well, are you afraid of them taking over your bunker? Yeah, I never thought of it. Well, how do we stop that? They said, well, you're a billionaire, right? Yeah. Well, why don't you pay for your security professionals, his kid's bar mitzvah, confirmation? Why don't you pay for him and his family to go on a nice vacation for 2 weeks? Why don't you take an interest in them? Be their leader. In other words, being their leader. They'll take care of you. Some food for thought there. Remind your people where they fit in and how important their contributions are. Make them feel good. Find a balance, though. You know, you can't get too personal. And measure what matters. Got to measure what matters, guys. In the safety industry, and I watched a presentation this morning. Well, we're going to collect data. This is how we collect data. Here's our software. And okay, all well and good. But if You're not looking at the data. What difference does it make? Why are we collecting if we never look at it? Now, there's certain data we have to collect, but no, what are we doing here? Measure what matters. If a piece of data doesn't matter, don't measure it. If you're not going to do anything with it, don't measure it. Because as the attorney said, you may be hanging yourself later on in litigation because it's all open for discovery. Make sound but timely decisions. Right? Delaying a decision may show hesitancy, loss of confidence, confusion, and failure. Here's one of my big pet peeves on this stuff. We're all safety professionals here, right? The OSHA 301 incident report needs to be completed within 1 week of the incident. But many job sites require it to be filled out by the end of the shift. And what happens? What's the result? Rushed investigations lead to rushed decisions that may not be right. Don't rush things. You got to make a sound decision. Because if you don't make a sound decision, guess what? You destroy your credibility and inhibit your leadership. That's an impediment. So what are you trying to do? Plan ahead. Do fatal flaw analysis. Emergency response plans, crisis management plans, business continuity plans, all different types of scripts. That's what you try to what you're trying to do. Train as a team. Get everyone on board, even the CEOs and upper level management. Get them on board. Get the procurement people on board. I'm a big fan of the tabletop exercise. That's maybe all that you'll be able to do with a CEO or upper level management. But everyone's got to know what's going on, information. And more information makes you smarter, not dumber. Remember that. Change. Good change and bad change. What do? You have to have continuous improvement. That's change. New technologies. That's change. New ideas. Asking for ideas. Accept reporting. Get information. Accept people are going to report things to you, good and bad. May not like it, but at least you know what the organization is doing that you're managing. Accept bad news. How do you accept bad news? Because it matters how you accept bad news. Praise in public, criticize in private. I think that's self-explanatory on that. Look for new leaders. You owe it to your organization. Look for the same attributes that we've been discussing. You need to expand that business, expand your capacity, expand your leadership, expand in safety. Because more leadership means more capacity equals more safety. When you talk about guards, because that's in that thing, right? And develop leaders. Don't always look towards human resources. Leadership is continuous improvement. There's no sink or swim. Guide, right? Feedback, positive way. Be reasonable in your expectations and look for talent in unusual places. That's the pyramid there. Leadership pyramid. What's my conclusion? And again, let me say this. Let me go back a second with this leadership pyramid. You don't need all these things. If you're missing one, that's fine. Missing a couple, that's fine. But the idea is that you're able to build this. And the top achievers out there have all this stuff going for them and more. Conclusion. You may not be able to influence everyone. Some people are not going to accept your leadership. And you know what you do? That's okay. Accept it. Maybe what you need to do is find out who's their leader and influence that person. So you have a company with 100 people. Not everyone's going to be a leader. Maybe 7 or 8 people are going to be leaders. Can you now? That's a much smaller elephant to swallow, 7 or 8 people versus 100. Small. You're able to do that. Concentrate on those people, influencing them. Leadership is learned, and most people must learn it. Right? Don't take things personally. Don't do it personally. Right? My hope, the presentation that we had in this discussion will spill over into your personal life because we need leaders now. Providing leadership saves lives, right? That's why we're safety professionals. Save lives, save injury, right? Prevent injuries. And one person cannot change the world, but one person can communicate the message that can change the world. You can't change the world? That's fine. I think I can. That's me. I'm a, you know, messianic complex there. But one person, you could communicate that message, whatever that is. And that's us. We're Safety Wars, owned by JCB Technical Services. We offer training classes. We have on-site support and everything else in the safety field, litigation support. That's our contact information, jim@safetywars.com. Give us a call at 845-269-5772 or www.safetywars.com. And thank you for watching and listening. And we will go and stop the recording right now. And good night, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.